Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Here we go again. Hi. My name's Perry, better known as Atheist Human. And that's Atheist Human at Atheist Human on Twitter. This is my show, All Atheists Have a Voice. And what we're about is, and I'm just going to give it to you in a nutshell, no atheist should be afraid to say, I am an atheist. I talk to atheists all over the world that have a difficult time coming out as an atheist. Some will be murdered if they do. Others will be shunned or disowned by their families. Even in the USA, it's illegal for some states for atheists to hold office. This is a crime in my eyes. We need to stick together, and we need to help others like ourselves to embrace their atheism. We ask atheists to tell their personal stories of how they came to atheism and how they deal with the blowback of trying to be open about their atheism. Our story can help others make the leap of unfaith. And my guest is Nick, and from reading your story, Nick, I see that you're a rebel.
A little. Just a little. But you not like a southern rebel.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Atheist Human. I'm sorry about that. I had a little technical difficulty there. I'm going to start back from what we're about. As I said, no atheist should be afraid to say I'm an atheist. I talk to atheists all over the world that have a difficult time coming out as an atheist. Some will be murdered if they do. Others would be shunned or disowned by their families. Even in the USA, it's illegal in some states for atheists to hold office. I believe this to be a crime. We need to stick together, and we need to help others like ourselves to embrace their atheism. We ask atheists to tell their personal stories of how they came to atheism and how they deal with the blowback of trying to be open about their atheism. Our stories can help others to make that leap of unfaith. And my guest today is Caitlin Beck, and she's running for State House of Representatives for the 49th, what is that, 49th Class 1?
Legislative District.
Okay, Legislative District, and that's in the state of Washington, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you want to tell me a little bit about how you came to atheism and how you came to running for office?
Certainly. So my coming to atheism was very interesting in that I was raised in a very religious household, in that everybody consistently was going to church, everybody was saying grace at dinner, everybody was going to youth group and religious get-togethers. They had one called Bible camp or Bible study that they would go to every summer. They would gather around kind of in a Woodstock fashion to go to church. And even in growing up in this, I never really picked up on it. I was consistently, you know, drugged to church. But I never really picked up on the whole God thing. I knew the story. I knew, you know, what I was supposed to believe. But then as soon as I hit elementary school and middle school and high school and I got all those science classes and, of course, the Discovery Channel helped as well, I just picked up on science naturally. It always made more sense to me. I mean, people tell me that I sound arrogant in saying that I'm an atheist, and then I, you know, respond with, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but saying that there's a God or saying that there's not a God is not arrogant. It's just what you believe. In my view, science has a backing. Science has legitimate proof of these processes that have formed our world and formed our entire existence, and we can track that and recreate that. So we have a crumb trail that leads us back to the answers, and there are just people that are not able to believe that. In my case, my family took it very hard, and that my grandparents oftentimes like to say they disown me when they're at church, which I really don't care about. They're mean anyway. They're not super mean, but they're not super fun either. I mean, the only instance where I actually did go to church with one of my grandmothers is because I made her a promise for her birthday, and the entire time I sat there playing on my phone, which was apparently rude, but I still filled my birthday wish. She had told the pastor, I think that's the person that they look up to in their church, the pastor, that I was an atheist. So there was a short conversation in the middle about trying to, you know, bring me to God, and I was just like, this is not happening. I can't do this, Grandma. You're being mean right now. Why are we trying to have this conversation? You know where I sit. And like I included in my story originally, I was even at a sporting event once with my mother. It was a wrestling tournament for my brother. And they had a prayer that I chose not to stand for, but immediately chose to stand after that for the national anthem, as I am still a patriot. And my mother just blew up screaming at me after the national anthem was done, saying that I was disrespecting my God and my family and my religion, to which I said, I am not disrespecting my God and my religion because I have none. And my mother did not speak to me for the rest of the day, which, again, isn't really that bad. It was kind of fun. I always had a knack for making my mother very angry. But it was an interesting conversation, as they only seemed to get more religious as I got more atheist, and that I felt they felt attacked by my beliefs, so they were consistently trying to demean mine and make me feel bad, make me feel like an evil person, which I was just never going to accept. I legitimately can see the answers. I mean, there are some answers that we still don't have, but I believe that we have the tools and we have the, you know, the processing knowledge in order to be able to find those answers that we don't have yet. We are going to reach these solutions and figure out what's going on someday. It may not be right now, but I'm still more keen to believe in the Big Bang than in some magical man in the sky that made us out of dirt. In my time growing up, I definitely did recognize that there's been a shortage of atheist politicians in the United States. I mean, in Maryland, for example, it's still illegal for an open atheist to serve in office. Mm-hmm. They do anyway. Because of Maryland's open atheist bar from office, I mean, we have one of the potential, one of the first atheists to serve in Congress again. I mean, I remember we had one that lost re-election a few cycles back, and we've got one that's going to be coming in soon, the clear front runner. So I'm very excited that we're going to finally have another open atheist serving in Congress, but we're still considered one of the most untrustworthy groups of people in the country, according to national polling. And being able to attain that representation in state, local, and federal government is going to give us the ability to create a public profile for ourselves that will ultimately bleed out to other atheists that want to run for office. In my case, I don't even think a lot of the district that I'm running in knows I'm an atheist. It's never really been an issue. I've never outwardly had to, you know, say I'm an atheist, and if I was put in that position, of course, I would say I'm an atheist. These are my beliefs. So I've never actually had to campaign on it or against it. But it's definitely been a big effect in that a lot of the groups around my district, which is, I actually live about a minute north of the Portland-Oregon border, so I'm just inside Washington. The area that I live in, Vancouver, Washington, is often called Vantucky because versus Portland, we're very purple.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of very religious right-wing bloggers that have been attacking me, not only for being an atheist, but for being a 20-year-old trans woman, there's a lot of blowback in my race. So, I mean, I've luckily not had to jump on that one, as I've already had to jump on a lot of other things and defending myself against the right. So I've been lucky there, but it's definitely been a drive in that there has not been representation, equal representation for atheists in this country in a long time, and we're one of the fastest growing groups of people. We need to be able to reach that representation. So that was definitely one of my inspirations to run.
Well, atheists run below pretty much every other category there is in this country as far as acceptance goes. You know, below gay, even below Satanists, which are atheists. It's pretty ridiculous.
We're definitely doing better than Congress.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I just read that North Carolina's Democratic Convention is adding the non-religious to its protected classes. So that's pretty cool, too.
I can certainly agree with that. Definitely need to, if it's not already federalized, include those protections. I mean, we can't even get
government
protections
federalized
for LGBT people yet.
Yes,
there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, it's all because
but that's
of
why
the...
people like me are here. What was
mm-hmm.
that?
I said it's all because of the biblical and upbringing of people of the Abrahamic religions in particular. And most all of what you're talking about, all the pushback, all the blowback for transgender, for, you know, GBLTQ, and for atheists, and for anybody who's not the same, is ingrained in our country because of religiosity.
No, and I definitely...
You there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, I definitely understand where you're coming from. It's an ingrained culture that we're moving away from, but very slowly. So, I mean, conversations like these are definitely going to help in moving away from that sense of religious entitlement that everybody has, into a more, a system where freedom of religion can be equitable. Everybody can have it. If you want to be religious, so be it. But if you don't want to infringe on my rights, don't use governmental
right.
process to limit my ability to serve my country, especially if it's
yeah.
due to your religious values.
Well, I think that's the whole key, and that would be, I think, one of the reasons why you'd want to be in office in particular, is to be able to afford others the same opportunities that you want yourself by running. That it isn't such a wild idea, Now, see, Portland... Mm-hmm. which I'd love to move to someday, is the
it's
least...
It's wonderful. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I've been there before. It's the least religious state in our union. And where you're at seems very, very much the opposite.
It's much like any other major city in that... You head downtown Portland, you're going to see the weirdos, which they love being called. The more north you go, you get into a very rural area, southwest Washington. Downtown Vancouver is very liberal, but most of southwest Washington is not that friendly to atheists or even Democrats, gays. It's a very...
Mm-hmm.
very red area outside of the metro of Seattle or Portland. It's interesting and it's tough. the district that I'm in, luckily, is urban and downtown Vancouver, so I've definitely got a better chance of winning my race than, you know, say, a Christian Republican. But
right.
It's still a difficult conversation to have with people that want to, you know, feel they're entitled to have God representing them in public office.
See, you were talking about earlier about people accusing you of being aloof or entitled about being an atheist. And I propose that's just a defense against their aloofness and their imposition of their religiosity upon the rest of us. It's just sticking up for yourself.
Certainly, and I would definitely say that atheists are about as far from aloof as you can get. I mean,
right.
With a majority of us, if you want us to believe something, you have to provide data and fact and evidence, and you're not just going to look at us and say, hey, you know, stars are made of stardust. We're going to say, really? Well, how do you know that? Where's your evidence?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make our decisions based on information that we're provided through process, where a religious person is just going to say, oh, it's an act of God. Okay, are you sure about that? Are you sure cancer is not something that you got from 10 years of smoking?
Yeah. I think that's the difference between having a belief and then looking for the evidence. And then instead of following the evidence to where it leads you to believe. I mean, all a belief is a suspicion anyway. You know, and for me to allow myself to be led by a suspicion in my life today is it's not my first choice. I've been there though. I was a theist, but I never really did believe the. I just couldn't. Like you said, there's too many things. There are too many inconsistencies. Too many things just didn't feel right. They just didn't make sense to me. But I was indoctrinated as a youth. I was raised Jewish. And, that's mm-hmm. like from the very, very beginning of your birth. You know, matter of fact, they even cut you into the world. So I thought that was a little funny. But, it's not so funny when it's happening.
I completely agree. I would actually honestly see atheism hopefully someday as a strong indicator of your ability to hold public office, because this is a proven track record of an ability to take a look at fact and make an informed decision that is, you know, based on evidence rather than just a belief that you hold from your childhood. You're able to adjust your decisions according to changing reality instead of just saying this is the way it has to be. As soon as new information comes up, we reform our ideas. And that's ultimately what a public official should do. We should be able to make a decision on a budget based on information we have now and then come back and, you know, reform that budget next year based on new information that we have coming back. Versus just
mm-hmm.
saying, I believe the economy will take care of itself. This is the way it has to be.
Or not even caring about what it does or isn't going to do, because it's all going to end anyway. I think that fatalism, the death cult, it guides all the decisions or lack thereof. Climate change denial, the whole bit, is founded in those particular beliefs in creationism and in such fallacies such as that. And when you talk to a mythical sky daddy before you make a big decision, I mean, I would rather have an atheist any day of the week. making my decision.
I am with you there. But, I mean, even climate change is a big one. People are, in my district, still trying to convince me that climate change is an act of God or it's something that man can't control, when we have insurmountable evidence that this is a man-made problem. We have to address it, and they're telling me that God is going to work it out. And that was the only thing that I've ever actually laughed at when a voter told me. I felt bad shortly after it happened, but I just couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Believe it. Because in the face of overwhelming evidence, they're going to cling to their whimsical ideas, and that's confirmation bias. You know, I mean, it's just going to be that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many issues that people are trying to address in a half-assed way, saying that it's God's will and that we should just move on and let it solve itself. But I, as an atheist and as a person that wants to make Washington State better, I can't accept that. I have to be able to affect this change without just blindly basing it off of some ideal I learned when I was 5.
So how's the race going? How far are you into it?
Well, Washington has an interesting system. We've got what we call a top two primary, where the top two vote getters advance regardless of party. And it's a two Democrat race. I'm running against a more conservative Democrat. So we're both going on to November, but I've got a primary technically in August. Right now, I'm being seen as the front runner only because my opponent is just bad. She has just said so many dumb things, not even about religion, but, I mean, she called Bernie Sanders supporters puppies. She tried to tell me that millennials have an attention span up to the next commercial break. Said that because I was running, I was just spitting in the face of Democratic Party unity. A lot of things that have been backfiring on her, and it's been wonderful for me. I don't even have to directly address them. Everybody else is. I can just say, she's making decisions on her end. My campaign will continue to make decisions on ours. How it affects her is her business. And come November, it will be voters' business. But it's not my job to address everything she says.
No.
I really want to. I'd just be jumping up and down and cheering in the street.
Yeah, just, keep ushering her on. Yay! I mean, I can understand how you feel. That's kind of, like we were talking earlier, it's kind of like how what's going on in the political arena as far as the presidential contest is going right now. The lesser of the evils is how I've heard it talked about. But to me, the definite evil is that Trump's sitting out there, and he just keeps shooting himself in the foot. And I think all we got to do is say, yay, keep doing it. I haven't even heard any real issues addressed because of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even on topic, a Trump presidency would be absolutely terrible in terms of the progression of atheists' rights in this country. If he's talking about banning 1.3 million Muslims from entering the United States, what's to stop him from 6 months in office saying, hey, atheists have been evil or whatever he's going to say, we have to get them all out of this country? He's inciting political violence and persecution based on religion. There's nothing stopping him from vilifying one of the most disliked peoples in the country. Probably work well for him with his supporters. So I'm legitimately worried about how this will affect us.
And as well, we all should be. I mean, not to just pick on one religion over another, but statistically, atheists fare worse than Muslims do as far as popularity. And I'm not advocating that should, that Muslims should not be looked at just like anybody else. I'm just saying that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's alarming.
Certainly. I mean, if he's willing to attack somebody more popular than us for political gain and profit on it.
That's my point.
I fear as soon as somebody comes out and asks that question that we're all going to be put on blast and things are going to get very scary for us. And they realistically could, in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Even just being a transgender politician following everything that happened in Orlando and then Britain, I've already realized just how unsafe my race is going to be for me. I mean, I every day think about the fact that there are a lot of angry right-wing people that are very mad at me already. What are my chances of being shot in the street today? If Donald Trump were to go about starting to say we need to get rid of atheists, remove them from office, at that point my race would become extremely unsafe and I would probably start receiving more death threats than I already do.
And you'd be protected by the atheists.
Certainly, but I don't want to have to see other people protecting me physically in the street.
Well,
I would rather just see us all get along.
Well, I know what you're saying, but I guess my point is that I've run into very few conservative atheists, but I have run into conservative atheists, very few of them. Most atheists I know are peace-loving, let's all get along together kind of people, for the most part, at least as far as the genders and the races and all that goes along. Even the religions that we all shoot quills at, as long as they're not bothering us, they're just fine. So I don't, that's the environment that we're in, but the problem is that lunatics are running the asylum, and that's why it's so important someone such as yourself be running for office, both being trans and being atheist, in my mind, makes you better prepared to do your job than someone that's looking down their finger at someone else. That's just my feeling.
No, I completely agree. I mean, for being 20, I've gone through a lot of stuff in my life. I mean, I've left home because I was facing a lot of, political and personal backlash. I mean, not just from my
mm-hmm.
Democratic views in a very conservative small town, but also my atheistic views. Not a lot of people liked me, so I just hopped up and moved to Portland. I was homeless for 3 months, and the adversity that I faced in the political field, even just among the Democrats, being homeless, working for nonprofit groups across the country, I definitely racked up a strong resume in why I should be in office. But facing adversity, I still think to this day, should be one of the biggest qualifiers that somebody should have for office, because if you have lived through an issue, then you are going to be passionate about that issue. I'm passionate
mm-hmm.
about a lot of issues because I face these battles of dealing with angry people on the daily, and then being able to have conversations after facing those battles to find a solution is where you're going to
mm-hmm.
find people that are actually going to affect change in their community, like myself.
So what can my listeners in your area do to help you?
I mean, anybody that can get in contact with me, and my website is Caitlin, Kaitlyn Beck, BECK.com. All of my contact info is on there. So anybody in Portland, Vancouver, Southwest Washington that wants to get a hold of me, I am almost always available to talk, volunteering, and phone banking, door knocking for campaigns is always wonderful. I've tried not to ask for donations just because I'm trying to pull big money out of politics myself. So I'm going to ask for as little money as possible to start with. So do not send me donations. That is my only thing that I've been very proud of so far. I have not taken a single dollar in donations, and I've been able to run a very successful campaign.
Well, good.
So, I mean, just anybody that's willing to get in contact, I always have things that people can do, mostly door knocking, because voter contact is number one if you want to win a race.
Okay, so mostly what you need is volunteering, not financial support.
Exactly. Financial support.
Okay.
I mean, if you really want to go that route, you can go be a Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, but I'm going to work a real grassroots campaign.
Spoken like a trooper. I think that's pretty cool, really. It's refreshing. So I guess right now, what advice would you have for someone who's newly coming to atheism or coming to terms with being a trans person or anything of that nature that you might, you know, have some insight to help them with?
Certainly. So I'll just address them both separately because they're very different things.
Okay.
There. In terms of...
Yes, I know.
Coming to being an atheist, I mean, I feel like that one is easier to come to terms with in your personal life. It's going to be difficult in your social life, though. If you're really looking to, I mean, honestly, I don't even think you should have to tell anybody that you're an atheist. If you want to be an atheist, so be it. That's your personal business. If you want to go and tell your family that you're not wanting to go to church on Christmas Eve, just having that conversation lightly of, you know, I'm just, this is not something I believe in. I understand if this is new to you, I'll definitely give you time to process, but let's just move forward. Nothing has to really change. We're still the same people. We still have the same relationship, and just reminding them that nothing about you as a person has changed. You're still that same lovable, happy, beautiful person that they've come to know and love. Just this one small aspect that really isn't going to affect your life,
right,
has changed. It's not something they can tangibly see. It's not something they can, you know, outwardly attack you on or try and fix. It's something that you can just push to the wayside after you tell them. Honestly, I think everything should be a non-issue. If it's not something that's going to hurt you or hurt them, go for it. Say it. If you don't want to say it, don't. Just make sure you're happy with your decision. If you're still questioning whether or not you are an atheist, if you're seeing the evidence but you've been, you know, taught the religious and the biblical, you know, thought process your entire life, try spending a month or a year just not saying a prayer, not going to church, thinking, even if it is forced thinking, but saying, you know, the Big Bang or evolution is true. Eventually, you'll realize that, you know, if this is really what you believe, then you're going to be comfortable in making that statement, and you're finally going to be able to say, no, you know what, evolution is true. This is not a forced statement. This is an honest statement, and if you realize that it's not something you believe, then after that year of trying to think that, you can go back to being, okay, you know what, this is not something I'm comfortable with. I'm going to go back and believe in the Bible or whatever you had originally. But giving yourself time to come to terms and being open with that thought is definitely going to be your primary step there in personal acceptance, just realizing that it's going to be an interesting and an awkward road, and you're going to have many conversations with yourself or with others about know, what actually happened. And at one point, it's just going to click. You're going to be like, okay, I understand. I'm no longer questioning. This is what I believe, one way or the other. I mean, even if you are going to be a religious person, you still deserve respect in that sense, just as long as you're not bashing me over here, I won't bash you. In terms of being a trans person, same thing. It's a very, I think that one's personally a very much harder conversation to have.
Sure.
I mean, it's a very emotional, personal issue. I remember when I was 4, I would be laying in bed at night crying because I wanted to be like Velma from Scooby-Doo. I wanted to be able to, you know, wear skirts like her and an orange sweater and be that smart, cool chick, and crying because I didn't think that was something that I could actually do. It wasn't until later in my life, about 15, that I actually learned that transgender was a thing. And at that point, I was just like, I did not know that. I am going to do that when I'm older. It kind of tapered off in high school, mostly because I had caught a lot of bullying in middle school for it. I didn't realize that it wasn't a thing a lot of people did or a thing a lot of people did not like. So I had come out as transgender in like eighth grade and then just kind of stopped because people were freaking out. And I was like, okay, never mind. I take that back until I moved up here and I was gay for a while because I've always been that way. But then, you know, I realized I had the opportunity to actually, you know, talk to a therapist, see an endocrinologist about being transgender. I'd done my research. I knew what was involved. And it was just a very smooth transition for me and coming to that realization of this is what I want. I mean, there are still some days where I'm like, you know, maybe I won't get the surgery. Maybe I will. It's very likely it will happen, but it's a scary process. It's a dramatic change that you can't really go back on. I mean, atheism is, even if you don't believe it, you could switch back and forth between saying you're an atheist and, you know, you're a religious person literally within 5 minutes. If it's easy to protect yourself being transgender, you can't do that. You've got to stay committed. You're going to receive death threats. People are going to yell nasty things at you, and people are going to act nasty towards you, and it's part of the experience. As much as I hate to say it, I wish it wasn't, it definitely makes you a stronger person, but in the end, it's going to make you a lot happier to come to those terms and be able to make the change to be the person you want to be. I mean, I'm a heck of a lot happier now. I mean, I'm adorable. My transition was very easy. Within 3 months of being on hormones, people consistently thought I was a woman. Nobody ever thinks I was born a man anymore. I legitimately have to tell gentlemen hitting on me in public I was born a guy, and then they're like, oh, my God, I didn't even know. I can't tell. And it's like, well, thanks, for one. This was a lot of, you know, heartbreak and money. So I appreciate it, but as soon as you start through that transition, being transgender, being atheist, everything is just going to click for you. At some point, you're going to be like, okay, no, I get it. I'm here. This is happening. This is what I want to happen. I mean, I hit that point a little while ago on both of those things. Atheism, like I said, it's just always been that way. Being transgender, I no longer cry about it. So I mean, it's definitely been a positive experience, and I'm a lot happier in both regards, and I'm no longer lying to myself or my family about these things.
See, and I got total respect for you in that regard, because what you're talking about, really, I guess it depends on, as far as the atheism thing, It depends on how deeply rooted your family is in their religiosity, too, I'd say. Because with the trans transformation, that's your whole essence, your whole being, your whole person, you know, your whole identity. And I've talked to a lot of atheists that go through the same type of thing. I'm not equating them to each other, but I'm saying it's the same type of thing for that individual with the way that they were brought up in strict religious indoctrination from birth on. And then when they come to the point where they're having these doubts, you know, because I believe we're born, and science shows us that, excuse me, that we have genetic predispositions to believe or not to believe, that there's a biochemical difference in our brains. And believers are going to be believers in the right in the right conditions, and a non-believer in the right conditions will become a non-believer. And, you know, sometimes that's a big jolt to somebody's psyche, you know, to all of a sudden come to terms with the fact that everything you believed or everything you did or everything that was going on in your whole life up until that point is just, you know, it's instead of you accepting it as the truth, it's being that part is been a lie, and now I have to I guess it's the same, and then I have to accept the truth about it all, you know. It could be really devastating either way. And that bullying thing, I was little and wiry and everything. I got bullied most of my life until I got to be bigger. I've always found that now that I tend to stick up for those, I guess that's kind of one reason I'm doing this, is because there's a lot of bullies out there, not just physical, but, you know, mental and emotional bullies. And a lot of us atheists have gone through that and do go through it. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's kind of why I want to do this, is to help those that are transitioning from theism to atheism, or have those questions that you were talking about, be able to come to terms with that and then feel okay with the fact that they're making that transition, and letting other people know about it. And you're right, if you feel really pressured, you know, take your time and make up your mind. But the one thing that I've been told about the atheists that have really risen up that way through a lot of emotional and personal strife is the fact that once they did come to terms with it and come out as an atheist, that other people, they found other atheists, that they found other people that they knew were like, oh, yeah, I feel that way too, you know, or I've gone through that too, or, you know, I've been thinking the same kind of thing and I just don't know what to do with it. So, you know, by coming out, they've actually found their voice, their strength. So I want to encourage those of you out there that are going through that type of a thing to feel okay with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
Certainly,
I really appreciate
jump in there too.
Yeah. Go on.
I want to encourage anybody out there that's questioning their religion, their gender identity, like I did, whether or not you're feeling truly represented. There are people out there, just like you, myself here, one of them, that are going to be right alongside you in your community, ready to fight for your rights and help you understand where you come from. And I strongly encourage anybody out there, run for office as soon as you can, because nothing's going to change with the same old boys club controlling everything. Getting your voice out there is going to help so many other people in so many ways that you would not imagine. So I definitely recommend that, because being present in government is going to be the best way that you can directly help your community. Advocacy is popular, but it doesn't always get the desired effect. If you're serving in a state legislature or on a city council, you have a direct say in that matter. So I always recommend running for office as well.
Yeah, we need more atheist politicians, or more politicians that represent us. We need as many as we can get out there. And since atheism is just a non-belief in God, everything else is a personal choice. So there's many different types of atheists, many different politics, you know, race, creed, everything. And so it's hard to get a vote block per se in that regard.
And that is perfect. I encourage diversity within our own separate communities. We need to have different creeds of people, different races, different sexualities, different backgrounds. If you're an atheist, run for office, especially if you're a
Absolutely.
Republican atheist. Then we'll understand each other, and we can have a calm, collected dialogue on how we can move our states and our country forward.
Yeah. Like I said, I've only run into a few. It doesn't mean there aren't more Republican atheists, but I can only count them on one hand, actually, that I've run into doing this. But I'm fairly new at it. I started my Atheist Human Twitter page in November, I think it was. Yeah. And I started this podcast in February. But I've talked to literally hundreds of people already. And I can only count the Republican atheists in one hand. There's some libertarian atheists. But most of them, for the most part, are liberal to one degree or another, and usually very liberal, very progressive.
I can't deny that on my end. I am a democratic socialist. I've been running as a Bernie Sanders Democrat in my district.
Yeah, I'm a democratic socialist, too. Well, we're almost out of time. See, you made it, huh?
I'm more impressed than I thought I would be.
If you don't have anything else to add, we can round it up, or don't feel like you have to talk for another 12 mm-hmm. minutes.
I mean, I've covered most of my bases. Like I said,
yeah.
Run for office. Tell everybody that you know, if they're old enough to run for state or federal government, run for office, because that is just about the most important thing that we can do right now.
And visit Caitlin at her website, which is CaitlinBett.com, correct?
Yep, Caitlin with a K.
Okay, Caitlin with a K. And I'm Atheist Human, and I'm here every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Our broadcast usually runs for an hour, sometimes a little less, sometimes more, but right around there. We do take call-ins usually, and we encourage that. So if anyone has any questions, they can catch me on my Twitter page. Okay, Caitlin?
Yeah, and thank you for having me. It was definitely a fun conversation.
Thanks. Thanks for being on my show.
Thank you.